Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very special guest with us tonight. Her name is Rose Jimenez, and since birth, Rose has been clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant, as she comes from a family lineage of psychic and healers, blessed to be born with gifts passed down from both her grandfathers, maternal psychic and paternal healer. Rose works with her spirit guides, angels, archangels, as well as the ascended masters. Rose's Christ consciousness name is J-Ra, meaning she who manifests the light. Rose is also a Reiki master teacher and a Sheehan of four methods of Reiki, the host of two weekly radio shows, a published author of two books, the director of branding regulations for Raven Keys Medical Reiki Institute, LLC, and a love ambassador for the Love Foundation. Hey, Rose, how you doing tonight?
Hi, Amy. I'm doing very good tonight. Thank you. I'm really excited that I'm here as your guest. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Awesome. I hope I pronounced Sheehan right. It's because I had to look up that word. I've never heard that before. I was like,
Sheehan, you did very well. That's absolutely correct.
Good. I'm glad. I screw up names because, you know, my name's so easy.
No, it's Jimenez they have problems with.
I took Spanish for 8 years, so I should know. Rose,
yeah.
we're gonna interview you tonight. You and I have been friends for a while now. I'm gonna be on your show next month. I think on the 21st. I think it's on Blog Talk Radio. And So I wanted to have you on because you're very interesting. We've gotten to know each other, you know, through Facebook and so on. So I thought I wanted to have you on because you feel like you're more of a Reiki master. Now I have my Reiki. I am a Reiki master myself. But I integrate energy therapy better. So you're going to go into that, and you're going to tell us how you got all into this stuff. You know, you were like me. You were kind of shaken up, weren't you? Not stirred, but shaken up.
Well, see, it's funny. I knew I was here to help people, and when I found Reiki, and when I realized that the very thing that I had found was kind of what my grandfather was practicing back in 1907, when he came over from Italy, he was, you know, in Brooklyn, and he was healing babies and toddlers. He used to hold the baby in his left arm, and he would pass his hand over the baby's body, kind of like biosensing scanning, and healing the babies. And I'm like, oh, great, I'm doing what Grandpa did. This must be my calling. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was what I said. That wasn't exactly what Spirit had intended, but it was a start. So I went Reiki, you know, whole hog. I've been practicing Reiki for 14 years. My website, my Reiki practice is Violet Rose Reiki, and that's been going since 2007, and I thought I was right on track, but not really, and it was demanded of me back in 2015 that I was going to get out there as a psychic medium, which is what I'm here to do. And, oh, I could do that Reiki stuff if I like, but that wasn't really the real reason that they put me here. So
Yeah, don't you love when they do shit like that?
I kind of got turned around a bit.
I love when they do shit like that. It's like, really? I'm not here to do this. I'm here to do that. You know? Yeah, I know that all too well.
And it was funny because, like, you know when they say to give you enough rope, you give, you know, all right, give the person enough rope to hang themselves? So Spirit was giving me all this rope, and I was like, okay, this is working, this is good. And then all of a sudden, they pulled on that rope and yanked me. And I'll never forget the night. It was my friend's birthday. She's no longer with us in the physical form. And I was looking up to heaven going, I need a job. I need work. I need something. I need. And right. I felt two hands down on my shoulders, turned me a 180. And the next word I heard was, enough. And I felt this cold shiver go up my spine. And it was like, yeah, we've given you enough time to do it voluntarily. Since you haven't, you get out there, you do readings full time. This is it. So, I complied. Here I am.
Here I am. I know. That's what I said when I had my second near-death experience in 2000. It's like, here I am. I'm like, really? I suppressed all this stuff. Oh, no. You're going to go out there, and we're going to, it's like the windows were blown out of the house. There you go.
Yeah, you know, you get that, like, something your gut, your intuition says, jig is up, babe.
And you're like, really? I don't want this. And they're like, no. And I'm not saying I don't love it now. I'm not saying that, you know, but it was hard to adjust. Let me just say that. It was hard to adjust. So, wow.
It's funny. I really didn't have that much of a difficulty adjusting because I'm telling you, it was like, you know when you're on a ship and it's sinking and you know you got to jump into the water and there is no option?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was kind of, we talked about that, you and I, about Atlantis, our past lives. You went down with the island or the continent, and I jumped off of, I don't know where I jumped off. Somebody jumped off, helped me jump off.
Yeah, I went down.
Yeah, so. People think we're nuts when we talk about this shit, but it's true. It's true.
And those who are in the know, right?
Yes. But I think we're becoming more mainstream than ever before. People are looking for answers, and that's why we've been reawakened. I think that's why they reawakened you. Mm-hmm. Here we are. So you and I share also similar backgrounds. You started working out in the law. Did you enjoy that? I didn't, but did
you?
I
loved it because I
did. Did really?
I'm a Libra, so I have to love anything that has to do with the law, justice, and let me not say the fairness word because there's not a lot of that going around, but yeah, justice, the law, and helping people. I really did like it, 42 years.
Wow.
See, I think I liked it.
No, that's okay. I hated it. I was a paralegal for maybe about 10 years. I hated it. I had to work with scumbag attorneys. No offense. If there's anybody, an attorney out there, you're not all scumbags, but the ones I worked with were. So.
Well, yeah, there are some of those. And I can start it. There are some, and there are nice, you know, nice, lovely, wonderful attorneys who do good and who are not scumbags. But.
Right. Yeah, and they call us, and they're environmental attorneys or something like that. At least I have a bunch of those that call me. They're trying to save the world. We're like, you sure you want to go to the law firm? I don't know what that is. Seriously. Oh, my God. So getting back to your questions, you've called yourself the closet psychic. What does that mean, the closet psychic?
That means, well, what I liked about working as a paralegal and later on office manager, bookkeeper, was I had my little office. I was surrounded with four walls, and nobody could get to me or bother me or invade me. And when I would go do psychic events, I would do them for friends, family. I would come out in cases of emergency because I had worked this. I had worked a stint in a shop in Long Beach, Long Island, for a couple of years, but I'd give my card to someone, I'd give them a reading, and then they were on me. They called me the next day after the reading. I need help. What about this? I have another question. Help me, help me. And I had not learned yet to say no without feeling that the person was going to hate me. And I had not learned anything about boundaries. Same reason I thought if I put up a boundary, that person was going to think that I was not empathetic, I was not loving, I was not compassionate towards their needs. So I had to learn those things, which I did over a couple of years, but that's why they had to, like, drag me out of the closet. I was always the closet psychic, hiding in the closet. I'd pop out if it was absolutely necessary. And I'm telling you, you can see the claw marks on the closet. I mean, think of a scared cat that runs in the closet and you want to get that kitty out of there. No! So that was me. It's not me now. And, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. I learned my boundaries. I learned how to say no without making the person hate me. And even if the person did hate me because I said that, I learned that it's the way they're taking it. It's their stuff. It's not me. I can't take things on personal. Right. So a lot of learning.
Yeah, it is. It really is. That's one of my life lessons is boundaries, too, and I'll tell you. I don't feel guilty anymore if I tell someone I need my space or I'll take you tomorrow or I'll take you in a couple of days, because you can only take so much. I mean, people don't realize this work is very draining, especially with this eclipse that happened today. I'm telling you, my phone has been crazy all day. I don't know about you, but I'm like, oh, my God.
I had a lovely, quiet day today.
Not me, man. My phone's been, you know, thank God. And I'm like, holy cow, I wanted to hide today, and it ain't happening. But, yeah, I just feel...
I was kind of afraid that was going to happen to me, but they cut me a break, so I'll take it.
Who do you know on the other side? Huh? Who do you know? I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Maybe my mom's... You better be nice to my daughter. I don't know. Mom was very persuasive.
I'm just kidding. No. I love what I do. But sometimes it's like, you know, you just, you want to hide. That's for sure. Would you say that you're following your bliss doing this work?
Oh, indeed. And you know what? It's like I am following my bliss. I'm so blissfully happy. I'm so grateful. And I can't wrap my head around, Rose, how stupid were you that you didn't want to do this 6 years ago? What is wrong with your head? I think most of it was I was trying to be a cookie. And I wanted to follow every other cookie that came out of that big cookie cutter in the sky. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We are billions of people. There are billions of creative and different, unique, authentic souls who need to be doing the same unique, authentic, original work. It's just that it's taking us a long time, and it's taking this shifting of energy, shifting of consciousness to bring it out. It's like we're all these little seeds, and now we're just starting to bud and bloom, and it's all about being authentic and unique and original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Trying to follow the path, just go running round and round in circles. But, you know, it makes us, it gives us all a sense of comfort, stability, and all of that jazz. But the bottom line is it's time to step out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I know it's scary. I mean, it was scary for me. I had a near-death experience to wake my ass up. You know, they didn't really, no, Amy, you're going back to this. And I'm grateful it happened, and I went kicking and screaming. And I feel, you know, I got my degrees, I got this, I got that, but I wasn't really happy. I was working as a paralegal and then doing readings on the side, too, and the readings were coming to me. And I was, the more I did the readings, the more I wanted to work as a psychic healer. And I didn't want to work as a paralegal, so my last job, which was a major, major law firm in Western New York, they let me go. And I'm grateful for them. I'm like, man, I hated that place anyway. You know, I hated it. I hated every moment of it, and I was glad that they let me loose. But I was so afraid of working on my own as a psychic because I was brought up, like you said, you know, a 9-to-5 job. It's a cookie-cutter society. That's how you make your money. And people don't realize when you come out of your comfort zone, that's the money will follow and the comfort and the security follow. But I had to overcome that. And it took a lot of energy work and a lot of patience and prayer and meditation to overcome that fear that I couldn't make it on my own.
Right. Like when people say to me, oh, my God, you don't know. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. And I'm like, yeah, I do know. How would you like to live client to client? Jump out of that plane, you know, and just pull the chute when it's time.
Yeah, and it's, you just don't, you know, I believe in the power of manifestation. I know a reader friend used to say to me, she was a very good mentor, she used to say, the angels aren't going to let you fail, and they didn't. I had my rent paid, I had a little extra to go out and do things, you know, and that's all I wanted at the time, but, you know, I just, you know, I have to have, I'm the one that's a sole provider, because people like, I don't know about you, but I have to have a schedule when I'm doing this job, which leads me to the next question. What are the major frustrations of our work, you think?
The major frustrations, I got to tell you, it's dealing with the public and dealing with people and all their crazy quirks and maintaining a positive attitude and maintaining your own sense of self-worth and self-esteem, because people who are not awakened and people who are not conscious and people who are not, you know, aligned with positivity can be very cruel. And you can't let, as Don Miguel Ruiz says, you can't let other people affect you. Don't take things personally. Mm-hmm. So having to do that, it's a little challenging, but it can be done. I mean, every time somebody doesn't hear what they want to hear, and I tell everyone I'm truthful, I will tell you exactly what spirit gives me. Sometimes it's not nice, but, you know, really, as the saying goes, the truth shall set you free. And if you don't know the truth, you can't get on with your life. You can't make the necessary changes. So you got to hear it. And yet there are some people, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to make the change. They don't want to step outside of the little comfort zone that they've built for themselves. So I have been called a lousy psychic, not psychic at all, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Right.
And that's just basically what it is. I can't let anyone's opinion of me get to me.
Yeah, because actually what they think of you is none of your business, even though they like to tell you, you know, how horrible you can be.
Exactly.
I mean, to me, doing this work, the worst thing I hate is timing. I hate when people say, when? God's timing.
When? Everybody wants to know. Well, again, you know, that's like a, what do you call it? It's the ego, because they want to know when so they can set their timing, set their stopwatch, and it doesn't work like that. The less you worry about something that you want to manifest, the sooner it will come to pass. If you're going to sit on it like a chicken without an egg, you're going to wind up with a broken, cracked, smothered egg and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get that. Again, it's the fear. Fear drives many people, and they don't even know that they're so wrapped up and swallowed and drowning in fear.
No, they don't, and they're in the midst of their crap, you know, and they just don't see it. I mean, I love it. I get, you know, like I love the last couple of days I've gotten people say, well, you told me this, and I said, well, if you want a good reading, call God. Because I'm not God. I mean, I'm tough like that.
I love it. Exactly.
Because I'm not. We're human. We're human. We can only see based on the current trajectory of events right now, especially when you got free will.
That's
people
the
have
one
free will.
Thing that people don't have an understanding about. Someone has free will, and most people are coming with questions, does he love me, does she love me, but But if that person at any given moment, with their free will, they can change their mind, the psychic's not responsible for the change.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I had a woman today call me. She was all upset, and she's like, well, he left my stuff at the door, and you told me he wasn't going to do that. I said, first of all, he's a shyster, you know? And I said, and first of all, why would you want to be with a guy that's a jerk? You know, people have to look at, why are you asking these questions? Maybe he's doing you a favor by leaving your possessions on the front porch, okay?
Yep.
I don't know. That's just, you know, I had one of those calls, and that's when I said to this lady, I'm like, you know what? I'm not God. Call God up, okay? And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just telling you, I'm not perfect, and neither is Rose. We're both human, but we can't control what other human beings do. You can't control people, places, and things.
Right. Nobody has ultimate control.
You know, if I had ultimate control, a lot of my exes would not be alive today. Okay? I mean...
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times people, they delude themselves because they're looking for love outside of themselves. You know,
right.
When is love going to come into my life? And when I tell them, when you love yourself unconditionally and fully and forgive yourself and recognize your own self-esteem and become love itself, that's when love will come into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Each time love came into my life, I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. No more. I'm good. No more man. Thank you, God. I'm okay. I got married with that attitude. And... I met a very wonderful man with that same attitude. You're running around, love me, love me, love. That's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have to be happy within yourself, and then people are like, what are you smoking on the other end of the phone? I'm not smoking anything. I don't do drugs, and I don't drink, okay? The spirit won't allow it.
Exactly.
But, you know, but... I had to learn through a long, arduous process here. Take it from, and I'm not that old.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And it's as you said, you know, spirit wants us to trust, wants us to surrender our lives, our souls, our hearts to the trust because I had a very bad year a couple of years ago, and my guys kept saying, just trust. I'm like, yeah, right, easy for you to say. And they'd say, we've never let you down before. Why do you not believe it? Why do you not trust? I'm like, do you realize what's going on here? Where's my narrow mind? And I have to tell you, for 14 months in a row, I literally saw miracles happen.
Oh.
My needs were met. Now, when I'm telling you, I say my needs were met. My wants were totally ignored. But my needs were met.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we're here for you. You'll get what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And that was life-changing, really.
It is. I mean, I can relate to that. When I was called down to move to Florida, and from Western New York, the snow tundra of the north, oh, Lord. And I was called to come down to Florida. Now, I had felt this calling since I was a child. I knew I was going to move here. When I was 9 years old, I came to visit my aunt and uncle in West Palm Beach. I knew I was coming to Florida. So yeah. I got the call to, you know, I'm not talking about being a priest or a nun. Believe me, there ain't no way I'm going to be no freaking nun. It ain't happening.
That's hysterical. When I was a child, I used to play nun. I wanted to be a nun.
No.
But then again, I hadn't passed puberty yet at that time, so.
Exactly. I was going to say, you didn't, yeah. Anyway, you didn't taste the forbidden fruit. So I wanted to go to Florida so badly. My father had passed away in 2013, and I knew that I was done. I was like, I'm moving. And I did. I mean, I got rid of divorced. I sold my house, and I just went on blind faith, and everything fell into place beautifully. And ever since I've been down here for the past 2 years, I have been blissfully happy. I have, because I followed my heart and my intuition. Now, when I was coming down here, I was so nervous. Am I going to find a house to rent? Am I going to, transporting my cats? Is it going to be okay? You know, but everything fell into place like it was supposed to. When I got rid of my ex, and that was the best part. I lost a lot of weight losing that jerk off, you know? So it was a blessing. So when you do that, when you follow your intuition, when you trust, and you're scared, but you know that you're supposed to do something, it's a miracle. I mean, I find this being down here is a miracle, just living down here and living my life the way I want to. My friends even from Western New York say, Amy, you're a lot happier. I'm like, yeah, I'm not in snow, man. I'm not in the snow tundra where I can't see the sun for 9 months out of the year. Yeah, I see the sun every day now.
You know, it's funny because my ex-husband, when we were dating, he came and met me one night at a friend's house. He's got this big brochure, this folder, and across it says Florida. And I'm like, oh God, no. So I called him aside. I said, listen, I'm serious. We had been dating about 8 months. And I'm like, I'm serious. If you have any intention of going here, we're done. We're done. I will never step foot in the state of Florida. Okay, long story short, I'm divorced and whatever, and I go to Florida, I don't know, 2011, 12. I've been down there three times already. But this one time, I was coming down to URN Tampa, and I missed my flight. I'm traveling 40 years. I've never missed a flight. I'm like, what is this? Somehow, I lost an hour in the day. It was weird. It was kind of like, all right, who's doing what? But
yeah.
I know why it happened, because instead of getting into Florida at like 4 in the afternoon when all the sun was out and shiny and lovely, I got into Florida at 10 p.m. And I have to tell you, as the plane's coming down into Tampa, I'm looking out the window because I'm like a little kid when I fly. I love to look out the window. And looking out the window, I'm seeing all this water and the lights from the bridges. And the water is glistening, and the bridges are shining. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Atlantis. I'm home. I can't tell you the feeling that I got in my heart chakra. And I'm like, oh, I love it here.
So, yeah, I know. Yeah, well, I mean, too, when I left my ex and I took our cats, and I had it all lined up. I found somebody to board the cats, and I couldn't stand them, so I had to close on the house because his parents were buying the house for him. That's another story. So I couldn't stand them, and it was 2 weeks earlier, and I called my lawyer, and I said, you know, can we just, like, move this closing date up? I'm going to kill him, and you're going to be bailing me out of jail. So he's like, oh, no problem. He got me closed out the next day, and I got a plane down here because I wanted to fly down here first to get a house. Well, I stayed here. I found a house on the very next day, by the way. The second house I looked at, I got this house that I'm running now. And when I was leaving, they told me, my guys are like, because I was leaving like the next morning real early, so I checked out early and I was going to stay at Tampa Airport overnight. And I drove through Clearwater. And oh my God, Rosie, I know what you mean. It was so beautiful with the lights on the water. I was crying. I'm like, I want to be back home. And my guys are like, you're going to be back down here in a couple weeks. Cut it out.
I love Clearwater. Well, and my other favorite place in Florida is Dunedin.
Oh, Dunedin's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, it's...
And then when I found out Dunedin has a large Scottish community...
Yes, they do.
I left my heart in San Francisco. I left my heart in Scotland. I mean, whenever I go anyplace, I go to the Scottish Games when they have them here. Actually, I don't know if they have them, but they should be this month. I hear bagpipes, I start bawling like a baby, tears coming out of my eyes. It's just like, oh, home.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and then I stayed up there. It was like a week or and a half, and Buffalo had the worst winter in 2015. It was 0 degrees from November to April, and I'm down here at the end of February, and I'm waking up every day. And before my 41st birthday, now I'm telling you how old I am, it was like a blessing. I'm like, oh, my God, I love it. I was so happy. I was like, I'm so glad I moved the hell out of here. But then I had to realize I was alone. And My spirit guides are like, wait a second, you're not alone. We're always with you. So people don't think, oh, my God, I'm living here alone. You're not. Spirit is always around. The angels are always around. The ascended masters are always around us. And it's like you're never alone. They're always with us.
You're never alone.
No. No, you know, you get those calls. People say, oh, I'm so alone. Really? Have you talked to God and the angels? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't know. Because, again, they've been told that once you're gone, you're gone. You're in the dirt, and that's the end of it. You're gone. No.
Mm-mm.
As they say, everything is energy, and energy never dies. It may change. It may transmute.
Yeah.
It may morph, but it's not going to die.
No. No, when I had my near-death experience in 2000, that's when I realized there was a life after death. But I'm not going to bore you with that because... We could go on all night with this stuff.
You're going to be talking about that when I have you on my show.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Get into the nitty-gritty of your near-death experience, yes.
Yes, I will talk about that. I'm also writing about it. What do you think was your greatest success you've ever experienced?
Wow, the greatest success I ever experienced... Actually, every time somebody tells me that I've helped them and that they're so grateful for the help and guidance that I've given them, I think that's, you know, the greatest success for me because I've done what I'm here to do, and that's an almost indescribable experience, but it's, to me, that describes the greatest success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, me too. And someone says to me, you've been walking with me. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm here to do. I said, I may not hear. I had one I hadn't heard of from in 5 years today, a client that called me. And I'm like, she's like, you remember this? And she's like, you know, they remember that because we walk beside you. We're not here to take away the pain. We can only walk beside you and see what's right in front of you and help you navigate that.
Right, right. And, like, and, you know, we're not here to live your life for you.
No.
We're here to navigate, help you navigate, help you understand, give you the information you need to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're just here to help you. Sometimes I just point them in the right direction. I'm like, I want you to read this book, or I want you to look up this blog, or I want you to try this technique. I can only show you where to look. You have to find it yourself.
Right. And that's really the definition of a really great teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. 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 I don't want to take your lesson away. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to take the lesson away for them. Sometimes, as a reader, my guides show me something. I don't know about you, Rosie, but they show you something, and they're like, "That person has to go through that on their own. You can't give them all the answers."
Yeah, you can't, and you know it's very hard. It is very hard. Especially when you are watching someone you love. When you're watching somebody you love, like, constantly fall, get up, fall, get up. You know what the problem is, but you know at the same time you can't step in there and say, listen, let me help you. Let's take the shortcut. All you need to do is this, because you can't. They'll only learn their lessons if they do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could be there to administer, you know, CPR in case they're really a wreck. And then they say to you, help me. That's okay. But never voluntarily give help, offer help, because that person needs to go through that to learn.
Yeah, exactly. They have to. And that's also giving them a gift of the lesson. So, you know, some people are like, oh, I got to help them. No. You can't. So.
No, and, it's, you know, a lot of female clients, they go, oh, but I want to help. I said, look, I think this is something that because we're women and we have that maternal instinct, we always want to help. But when it comes to a mate, a partner, whatever, you can't help. They've got to discover it on their own. And if they don't, then they don't, but... You can't live someone's lessons for them.
No. And you can't live someone's life for them either.
No.
You can't. Mm-mm. So, Rosie, do you have a website, and where can people find you on social media?
Oh, yeah. My website is www.readingswithrose.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram, and you can find me on Twitter. I think on Twitter I'm Rose's Readings. For whatever reason, it wouldn't let me use my regular Readings with Rose, but I'm on all social media. Just give me a shout-out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. She's accessible like I am, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's talk about your books for a second. I was amazed when I was reading your biography here that you've been a published author, having written two books, one entitled Musings of Love and Light, and also the other one entitled The Beloved's Garden, both of which are available on Amazon. What brought you to write a book about these two subjects?
Well, the weird thing was, if anybody would have said to me, you're going to be publishing two books of, you know, romantic poetry, and I would have said, you're crazy.
I know.
Because I've always loved poetry, but I never looked at myself as a writer or as mm-hmm. someone who would be writing. However, again, Spirit had another thought. So I used to be in a very relaxed state, and I'd start to get words. Well, first I would hear, get the paper. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get paper or whatever, and I'd start to get a word or two or a line, and I knew I had to start writing. And mm-hmm. they're really channeled poems from Spirit. It's kind of like a double, you know, effort, a joint effort. Spirit would start, and then I would put my contribution, and together, Spirit and I, we would bring forth these poems. And it wound up, I had book number one, and I couldn't believe I did book number one. However, I went on, and mm-hmm. I think a year later, book number two was born. So, they're out there. My first book was published in 2012, and that book has a lot of photos. A lot of the photos are my own. Some of them are from friends. Some of them are, from stock. But each poem has its own photo. And in that book, I was trying to, put a feeling to the poem. And then when I came out with my next book, which is The Beloved's Garden,
mm-hmm.
I decided to let the reader do their own images in their own mind or connect the poem to whatever they wanted. It was more mm-hmm. free-flowing. In other words, I'm not going to tell you what to envision
right.
when you read this.
Yeah.
Envision what you like and what comes to you.
Yes, I love the title, The Beloved's Garden. I love that title. That's beautiful.
And again, it's funny. Spirit gave me the titles. I didn't pick those, but those titles were given by Spirit.
Oh man, that's awesome. That is awesome. I love it. Yeah, I loved it. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that. I'm gonna have to get two copies here. I need to read more.
Yeah, and if you want to get them, they don't have to go to Amazon because. Okay, the price on Amazon is quite high. But if anyone wants a copy of my book, they should email me at readingswithrose@gmail.com, and I will gladly send you out an autographed copy, and it'll be much cheaper.
Awesome. Cool. I think that's great.
If you order straight from me, they're under $20.
That's not bad, no. It's a good investment, too. It really is, especially when it's channeled from Spirit. It's amazing.
Yeah, if anyone wants, they can go look at, Amazon, look at the books on Amazon, read the reviews. Musings got about 9 or 10 five-star reviews. So, and then if you want the book, just contact me.
Cool. And are you writing another book? Are you birthing another child, another book?
Well, we're not in gestation now. However, there is another one coming. I don't know when, but at some point another one is coming.
Okay. And so you'll have three of them, and I'm sure you're going to do more than just the three I'm seeing right now. I'm just being shown more. So you got a lot of work to do, girl.
I do. I really do.
Yeah, they're not done with you yet.
No. They're going to squeeze me like a sponge, which is fine.
Let's talk a little bit of your healing work. You mentioned in the beginning of the show you're a Reiki master teacher and a Sheehan. How many years have you been? You teach Reiki as well, and how many years have you been a Reiki teacher? And when did you first become a certified medical Reiki master? And what does that mean?
I became a master teacher in 2004 or 2005. Don't hold me to either year, but somewhere around there. And then I went on to open my Reiki practice in 2006. And I mean, I love it. And I went on to, 2011. I started out doing Usui Reiki Ryoho, and then I learned Karuna and became a Karuna master teacher.
Okay.
And then I took Atlantean Reiki, of course, because I had to experience it. And then in 2014, hello, baby. My cat just brought me in a mousie, a toy mousie. 2014, I became a certified medical Reiki practitioner or Reiki master with Raven Keys.
Oh, okay.
And the thing with that is, you know, Raven is doing such great work bringing Reiki into the operating rooms and into the medical community because prior to, you know, Reiki was not really accepted by mainstream medical people. And, you know, they would poo-poo us or they'd say, you know, those people are crazy, but little by little, it's getting out there, and Dr. Sheldon Mark Feldman is a wonderful, wonderful surgeon, and he really is the driving force between getting Reiki accepted into hospitals, because Raven's worked with Dr. Feldman, and he's a big proponent of Reiki and how it works and the good that it does. As a matter of fact, he's going to be doing a study on Reiki and how it works, and they are also accepting donations for the study. So it's like, thanks to him, we're getting further and further into mainstream medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it started with Dr. Oz, who said, you know, energy medicine is the next big boom, and I think he said that back in 2010 or sooner, but because you do it, I do it, we know it works, but try and convince the rest of the world that it works.
Right.
That's a whole nother, you know.
Yeah, that's a whole nother ball of wax, and I feel that any time that I've been, knock on wood, I've been very healthy. You know, I go for, myself, I go for regular energy treatments because it helps get the issue out of the tissues. And I definitely feel eventually I do see that we are going to be more, like I said, I get the word mainstream all the time because as healers, energy healers, we're here to support, whether you're going through chemotherapy, like some hospices down here, they have energy healers, you know, come in to support chemotherapy or cancer patients or, you know, even asthmatics. I mean, it goes from a wide range, the whole mind-body-spirit connection. So that's really awesome.
Right. If anybody wants to donate, they can go to www.medicalreikiworks.org. And this is where Dr. Feldman and his team, they're conducting at Montefiore Medical Center this study to prove the efficacy of medical Reiki in the operating room. So we're really hoping that we could do more research and get it out there to more people. We just had, I think, recently, within the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks, inducted, at least 30 brand new medical Reiki, certified medical Reiki masters.
Wow, that's great. I love that. It is, and it's going to become more, like I said, it's going to become more accepted, and I feel like it does. It supports people when they're going through these issues, you know, because it's a mind-body-spirit connection. It all comes together. It's not, you can't separate all three.
No, and I had him on my show, Violet Reiki Radio, a couple of years ago, and I want to get him back on the new show with, you know, when, my God, I forgot the name of my own show, but I'm a little crazy right now, The Wisdom of Spirit, blah, 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 tongue-tied. The Wisdom of Spirit, it's on every Thursday at 7 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. But I had Dr. Larry Dossey as a guest, and he wrote a book about the body-mind-soul experience. You're not just the body, not just the mind, not just the soul. They work together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here in the West, we don't think. We don't think that way. We're not conditioned like that.
Right. No, we're not. And I had a friend of mine say to me that she feels that's why she doesn't have the health care, because it doesn't cover Eastern or West, you know, mind-body energy work like it does in Europe.
Right. I think now, lately, a couple of massage technicians, a couple of massage places are covered, or you get a reduction in the massage. I don't know about acupuncture, but again, it's like it's growing slowly. It needs to really get a little bit more with the program here, but hey, as long as it's movement, slow is movement. So
right, yeah. Well, I think when I was doing my taxes, when I moved down here, I did acupuncture, and it was the IRS did cover the mileage to the acupuncturists, but not to the massage therapists for the mileage, the medical mileage. So according to the IRS, acupuncturists are a modality that will be covered is considered medical. So, you know, just a little trivia. So it's interesting.
No, because I love acupuncture. I always say, you know, I like the cocktail of chiropractic, massage, and acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. Yeah.
That's a great, cocktail I'll drink, because I don't drink anything else. So I can't. How do you feel your work has affected your lifestyle? We do lead different lives. I mean, you and I are probably up all hours of the night. I am, at least. I know you are sometimes, and you sleep.
I am. Yeah.
Me too. We're both night owls.
Can I just get myself normalized? I just want to, like, be able to get up in the morning. It doesn't have to be at, like, 6 or 7. But can I get up at, like, 8 or 9 and go to bed by midnight? My guides left. Got to go with the flow. I mean, there are nights where I actually do have a, quote, normal, unquote, life where I do get up around 9 and I go to bed by midnight, but that's not a commonplace, you know, thing, because the creativity comes. You got to go with the flow. And the thing is, I have a freer lifestyle, but I don't know, I just can't wrap my head around it yet, because I guess because I'm new to it, because, like, I just keep saying, go with the flow, be like water, don't make plans. I'm like, what do you mean don't make plans? I'm a control freak, I'm a list maker, I'm an organized, you know. And they're like, no, why no? Just let everything go, and it'll get done. And it's funny, because even today, I was doing strange things, but I was going with the flow. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I decide to clean out the last drawer in my desk, which needed to be cleaned out for months. And it just hit today. It said, clean out the drawer. Here, let's go. And I'm like, but, yeah, it wasn't the perfect day, time, place to do all of this. But yeah. That's what they said. That's what Spirit said to do. So I did it. I'm glad yeah. I did, but just living moment to moment, being like water and just flowing and not knowing where I'm going is a little weird, but mm-hmm. everything's working.
Yeah, it works a lot better, too. I know, me too. I'm up till like 1 or 2 o'clock, and, you know, I wake up at 9 or 10, and I feel bad. I called another reader friend of mine. She's like, what the hell do you have to worry about, Amy? You don't have kids. You don't have a husband. You have cats. Like, they care. They sleep all the time anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and do you ever get that look from your cats? Like, you're running around. You're, like, worrying, and you're a little stressed, and, like, you'll pass the cat, and the cat will look at you like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, I get that a lot lately. They're like, what the hell's wrong with you, Mommy? Just feed me. Just feed me.
Lay down. Take a nap. It's nap time. Come on. Lay down. It's comfy here.
Yeah, that's what they want to do. You know, my Maine Coon Max, you know, you see pictures of him on Facebook, and, you know, he wants me to, I just want to nap looking at him. Good Lord.
So. Yeah, he has no problem just chilling. I love it.
I love it, too. We can learn so much from our animals. And so let's talk about your clientele for a little bit. You have both international and national clients. How are your readings available to such a wide clientele like that?
Yeah, actually both national and even international, I offer my clients readings via telephone or mm-hmm. via video chat. They can use anything they want or what's available to them. We can do Skype, we can do Google Hangout, whatever, and we set a time and a place and we have a reading. I mean, the reading to me, whether I'm doing it via telephone or via video chat, it's basically the same as though you were sitting across from me. And mm-hmm. it makes it convenient to these people because, of course, I have clients in the UK, I have clients in Italy, and it's like they can't be here, but they can get read by a video chat, and it's great. Even in the wintertime, like, we have mm-hmm. snow. You know that in New York we have snow. And there are certain of my clients that there was 1 week, I had a lot of clients scheduled, and it had dumped so much snow on. It's like, how are these people going to get here? Well, mm-hmm. they opted for telephone or video chat, and they got mm-hmm. their reading. They didn't have to say, oh, now I have to wait another month. You know, if you have yeah. pressing questions, issues you want to know, you want to get your reading when you want it. So they didn't have to miss their readings at all. We just did them alternately by telephone or video chat.
Yeah, well, people will ask me if I'm doing even email readings. I'll do that once in a while. And I'm like, the energy's in the email. Its spirit is accessible 24/7. It doesn't matter what medium you use. You're going to get the messages you're meant to. You don't have to be right in front of me. You don't have to be on the phone. Sometimes email works, too.
Right. With the email, I might ask the person a couple of questions to get that vibe, but mm-hmm. I offer a three-question email reading. Sometimes because if a client has had a full reading with me, mm-hmm. and I tell all of them, I don't want to see you again for at least 4 to 6 months. Nothing's going to change. If, however, they forgot a couple of questions in that reading, I offer them the three-question email reading so mm-hmm. that whatever they forgot in their in-person or their video or telephone reading, they can say, oh, I forgot this. Can you answer, you know, just these few questions? Sure. Or if somebody doesn't want or need a full reading, they just have two or three burning questions they want answered. Mm-hmm. Email reading. Yep.
Yep. So how can our listeners learn more about your businesses? Tell us your websites again.
My website is www.readingswithrose.com. And basically that's it. Well, you can visit my violetrosereiki.com, that's my Reiki website, and somehow Spirit wants me to merge the two. I don't know how, when, or what, so right now I have both. And, yeah, and that's basically it. I will let you guys know that I have a page on Facebook. It's called mm-hmm. Readings with Rose, or The link is at Global Readings with Rose. And if you go to Facebook and you like that page, every now and again, and they only do the free readings, it's a one question, one card pull reading. I only do those readings when Spirit says, Rose, go. And then I'll put up a post that says, I'm doing readings. And I'll give people like a 6 to 8 hour window. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they comment yes. And if you comment yes, that means you want me to pull a card for you. And I'll give the time when I'll be pulling the cards. And then at that time, I select one card for each person. And then the reply to their yes is the card that was picked for them, and that's their mini one-card reading.
Cool.
It's very random. You have to go to... Yeah, you have to go to my Facebook page, which is Global Readings with Rose, and like the page. This way you'll get the notifications when we're doing readings.
Cool. Yeah, you had one last night, I saw.
I was just going to say, I did one last night.
I must be psychic, and so are you. No, just kidding.
Yeah, it was insane. I don't remember exactly how many people wanted readings, but it was like, wow.
Yes, they
sometimes
did.
Sometimes I'll have up to 20 people that want a card.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Well, Rose, it's a pleasure having you on tonight. This was awesome. We always gab. We always talk. It's been a pleasure.
Well, it's live.
Yeah, it's been great. So, Rose, thank you for coming up and enlightening us.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. And if anyone wants to find me, I'm at emytoy.com. I'm also Angel Answers with Amy Toy on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on everywhere like Rose's. So everyone take care. Have a good night.